We've moved now from Jeremiah to Nahum. It's a very short prophecy. It's not a big book at all. And it's written around 621 BC. He sees the destruction of Assyria. Assyria was known for its cruelty. It ruled with an iron hand. I mean, when they conquered a city, they cut off the heads of most of the men and put them in big piles. And it was so. You see the demonic power of hatred, you know? So now they've fallen and Babylon is going to take over. And after a little while, Babylon will fall to Persia. And the Jews will go home, those who want. Never again to be in full possession of their land, except for a little while, maybe under the Maccabees. And so for many devout Jews, the exile is still going on. And that's one of the ways the Lord keeps them hungry. Because, you see, the land that brings salvation, that's the body of Christ. The promised land is the Eucharist. We feed on the body of Christ. And that land is the land that was transformed into the body of Christ. Like the land of Maryland is where our was changed into our bodies because we eat the food that comes up from the soil here. You can reflect on that. But that's Nahum. Now, you remember yesterday, we had Peter's marvelous confession of faith and the Lord's promise to found the church on the rock of Peter. And just look out and see. Pick up the newspaper. Keep in touch with what's going on in Rome. It's still true. The one force that is standing against the evil is the church. Now, after telling Peter, "Get behind me, you're Satan," now the Lord begins to explain what it meant, what it means. That prophecy about the Christ himself, that the Son of Man must be handed over and so forth. Now, you see, whether Peter got an inkling, well, if that's going to happen to him, it's probably going to happen to us. So it shouldn't happen, Lord. You know, it wasn't really totally worried about Jesus. That's why Jesus says, he calls him Satan because he's a tempter, trying to weaken Jesus' resolve. And tells him, "You think the thoughts of men, not the thoughts of God. I am going to do my Father's will, and it's going to kill me. And now I want to tell you about yourselves. Whoever wishes to come after me, that is, be my disciple, must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That's the way it goes." Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. And you find it in the Synoptics, in general, right after this first confession of Peter. As I think I've pointed out before, particularly in Mark, it's very powerful, but it's discernible in Matthew. Jesus will predict his passion, and there'll be a totally inept response on the part of the disciples. And then Jesus will give teaching about the meaning of the passion. His passion. "I live, now not I, Christ lives in me." That means I die, now not I, Christ dies in me. Both. And so, you see, the mystery of the Christ, who is totally sufficient unto himself, he still live it out in his body. I carry in my body, you see, the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifest. I make up in my body for what is wanting to the sufferings of Christ, for the sake of his body, the church. The mystery of Christ is lived in his body. And it's lived in many ways. It's lived in the martyrs, lived to those in the confessors who are in prison all over the world right now. It's lived in so many other people who are trying to serve the Lord, take care of their children, those who are protesting against abortion, those who are homeschooling, those who are giving their lives to the Lord in sickness. It's the mystery of the Christ keeping the world from going to destruction. That's why he says to us, you're the salt of the earth. Salt gives life, flavor, interest, and preserves. If my body were not on this earth, he's saying, it would go to destruction and corruption so fast it would make your head spin. And if my body would only be my body, if you would give your life to me, I can transform you. And I will be here. Satan hates the body of Christ and has an intelligence great intelligence and a hatred that is unimaginable. And he has a plan to destroy the body of Christ from this earth. The first step was to destroy the Jews. The next people to go would have been the Catholics in Hitler's Germany. So it's in that context that our Lord is saying, if you want to come after me, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me, and you will have a joy that no one can take from you. And you will have courage, and you will have meaning in your life. You will be in union with me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. This isn't a threat. You're going to have a terribly hard life. Everything's going to be terrible. This is a promise. You're going to find your life. Just trust me. Give your life to me. Follow me. Obey me. And you will find your life. And then, sort of wisdom sayings. Oh my goodness. Wisdom sayings. But in the context, what shall I say? You remember that experiment in high school where you had I guess we all did it. You have a big magnet here and a big powerful magnet there. And then you have a piece of paper on top of it. And you have iron filings there. I guess you have to be over 50 to remember that. I don't know what the kids are doing. I mean, but that was fascinating. And you could see the magnetic field organize itself. And you'd see these lines. If you go on back to grammar school and ask if you could do this, it's fascinating. But you see, that's what's happening here. You have these sayings about, you see, what profit would it be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? You don't have to be the Son of God to figure that out. Right? Look at all the big rich people who died. They didn't take a dime. What good did it do them if their life wasn't in order? Nothing. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You just have to stop and think, which is something we rarely do. So that's one. And then you have another one. Or who can, what can one give in exchange for his life? You're in the hospital bed there, you know? And the doctor's saying, well, you got a few hours to live. You're saying, doctor, I'm worth $10 million. I'll give you the whole thing. Just fix me up. He can't do it. Right? Time to go. But you see, they are in this magnetic field. So they're not just regular wisdom sayings. Think of the shortness of life. Think of the stupidity of trying to gather all this stuff up. You know? This is in the context. Now, the magnetic field is the cross. Am I making sense? This is a, so whoever put these sayings together this way, Jesus, of course, was moved by the Holy Spirit. But you'll find it almost identical in Matthew and Mark. And then the other side of the, you know, we got these two transformers, like whatever they were. For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and he will repay each according to his conduct. And that's the cross and the fulfillment. And that lines up all these other things, sayings about, so why are you worried about money, status, big shot? Everybody thinks you're great, and then you die. But if you have given your life to me, if you have tried to carry your cross after me, you will know bliss now, no matter what the suffering is, and you will know bliss forever. And then, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Tough saying, isn't it? What do you do with those things when you're reading the gospel? Say, well, turn the page. You know? Jesus made a mistake, but I don't want to think about that. Turn the page. Or do you try to say, look, this is the Word of God, and Jesus is the living, eternal Son of God. It must mean something that's true. What could it possibly mean? Well, he came in his kingdom on the cross. That's when the kingdom, the rule of God, was inaugurated in this world. It will be completed one day. But what will be completed is already here. And there's a little hint here as well that some will see him transfigured, which the Gospels always put right after this prediction. Some will see me come in this kingdom in the sense that who I am will start to radiate out through my body. And some will see it. But then one day, when I die and rise, anyone who wants to believe in me will see this glory. And then one day, the veil will be taken away. And you won't see it through the veil. You'll just see all who I am and my love for you. And then you'll be so glad you didn't spend your life trying to make a lot of money or taking revenge on all your enemies or whatever else you could waste your time with. You'll be so glad.